Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky. And I have a really interesting guest today, Gershon Distenfeld, who is, we'll find out exactly the title, but he is the main man, let's put it that way, of Yeshiva HaAtid, the future yeshiva, and located in New Jersey, I believe in Bergenfield or Teaneck. I'm not quite sure. We'll find out where. And they're doing some very exciting things. So, Gershon, how are you doing? Okay.
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
Okay. So now correct everything I said. First of all, what is your title in the school?
I guess my official title is Executive Vice President.
Okay.
But luckily, I'm privileged to work with 12 other people, lay leaders, that are doing a tremendous amount of work on this.
Oh yeah, I know. I've met some of them. It's absolutely fantastic. So now, let me get this right. The school is in Bergenfield?
It is in Bergenfield. Yes.
It is in Bergenfield. So it's basically serving that community, the Bergenfield, Teaneck. Right? Is that the area, or is it going to be bigger than that?
Teaneck, Bergenfield, New Milford, Englewood, Fairlawn.
And the goal is, right, it's not opening yet. It's opening in 2012. That's what I've read. And so tell me a little bit about your plans. What is the school going to look like, and how is it going to be different from some of the other schools we find?
So the school is going to be using a technology, if you would, called blended learning, which is going to mix the best of what is available through modern-day technology with the best of face-to-face instruction. And, you know, if you think this is really the way that the world has gone in just about every other industry other than education to date, where we use modern-day methods and technologies to enhance whatever you're doing. If you're in a business, to whatever products you're making, and when it comes to education, in terms of helping the teacher be as productive as they can. Now, the nice thing about such a model is that the model does accomplish something else that's very important, which is to significantly lower the cost of, like any other industry again, lowers the cost of the product, and we believe will enhance the quality of the education.
So it's really, I mean, you read about you know, individualized instruction, you read about online education, so this is somewhat akin to that, right?
Yes, but it is very different than online education. There are a couple of 100,000 people in this country and more worldwide that are being educated almost exclusively by homeschool, but all online. This is a very different model than that. Some people confuse that. This is actually using some of the same software and techniques that are used in the online-only model, but really incorporating them into the classroom and into the way the teacher interacts with the children. And you know, this has never really been tried in yeshiva before, but has had tremendous success in the public school arena and the charter school arena in various places in the country. So it's definitely an improved model.
So it's a model that's already been, you know, tested and all the kinks have been taken out of it to a certain extent.
Well, obviously, you know, we will, you know, things like anything else will get better over time, but there are already schools in existence for a number of years that are demonstrating fabulous results. There's a school in San Jose called Rocket Ship that, just to give you an idea of the demographics of this, of the population of this school, 90% roughly are on free lunches, right? And we know that is one of the factors that determine success in school. They are out through this model. They are outperforming their equivalent in Silicon Valley, which is a very wealthy
area.
Sure,
of course, right. And what's the class size? Is it smaller or the larger?
So, you know, class sizes are something that gets a lot of attention in the traditional model with very good reason, right? You have one or two teachers, and the more kids there are, the harder it is for them to reach them. Class sizes become less important in this type of model because what actually happens is various groups of students proceed at their own pace, and the teacher works with actually smaller groups of students, and what this allows is actually a much higher student-to-teacher ratio.
I see. So this
idea of an actual class size is, and by the way, you know, things get, you know, there are all these studies that show that lower class sizes are better, and there's no question if that's the only variable you're looking at, a class of 15 is better than a class of 25. We know that. But the truth of the matter is that there, as many studies have indicated, that having a slightly better teacher or a slightly better curriculum is actually much more important. So you'd, in fact, to use an extreme, kids are better off with 30 kids in the class and a good teacher than 15 kids in the class and a lousy teacher. So we believe this model is actually, this is a better mousetrap. This is a better way of educating children, and will that will naturally allow for a higher student-teacher ratio.
So when you say better teachers, are you recruiting teachers from within the yeshiva system now, or are you going outside the system?
Yeah, Steve, it's funny you mention that. We're actually just placing our first ad. I don't know if we're placing it today. I approved it today. And without having done any advertising, we've gotten, I don't even know how many resumes at this point, both from inside and outside the community. We're finding the best teachers want to teach this way. Teachers are frustrated. They want to use the latest and greatest technology. They want to be able to assess where students are. And this makes a teacher's job easier, better, and more exciting because they can actually give more personalized instruction based on where each student is.
Is this going to work both for the Limudei Kodesh and Limudei Chol, for the secular and for the religious studies?
Great question.
So far, I'm doing okay. Not bad, huh?
You're doing pretty well.
Okay, good. Okay.
The idea is definitely there is less material so far in Limudei Kodesh side, but there's actually more than I thought than when we started this project, and there's a tremendous amount in the works, and many national organizations are actually out there trying to create that content. But, you know, it's not just about the content. It's also about the attitude that you have, the way the classroom is structured, the approach to teaching, the approach to trying to create more individualized curriculum. Obviously, technology helps with that, but it's not just about technology. You know, one of the things, I think people think that you throw a smart board on a wall in a classroom and all of a sudden you're cutting-edge 21st century type education. A smart board is just a fancy blackboard. It's a cute little toy if all you do is, show it off and draw some pictures on it. It's really how, like anything else, it's how you utilize the technology. So, we're going to expect our Limudei Kodesh teachers to create more customized type of learning, to break out into smaller groups, and that's the type of thing that can be done on either side. We fully expect, though, when we get, we're starting through first grade only, when we get, looking 3, 4, 5 years out, we expect there, in all likelihood, to be a fully developed curriculum for the Limudei Kodesh as well.
And so you actually may be developing the curriculum yourself, correct?
I think the people we hire will have input into that. We are in discussions with several organizations, including, believe it or not, one of the large national organizations that have developed materials on the secular side wants to do this on the Judaic side as well. So we're very excited about potential partnerships around that.
Okay, and I know that you've rented space. Is that what you've done?
Yes, we've rented space. We rent space from an existing it's an existing building that housed the yeshiva for the first, or at least part of the yeshiva for the first 10 years of its life, and they've simply outgrown the space, and we are renting it from them.
From an educational point of view, I understand this is cutting edge, which is what we should always be doing. We should be taking advantage, but it seems the motivation behind the program, and I support this, by the way, 100%, is to try to find a way of lowering the cost of Jewish education. So tell me, how is that going to work?
Well, let me first say that When I first started this project, and along with my colleagues, we were focused primarily on cost. I'm not going to beat around the bush around that. But the more we delved into this, and the more we spoke to the experts in the field, the more excited that we became about the actual educational model. And yes, we started because of cost, and we all know that a lower cost solution is desperately needed in the Jewish community. We've actually had people. We have people. We have over 100 kids registered for next year, and among them are people that the last thing they're focused on is cost. And we've even had some people say things like, "I pay double for this type of education." That being said, the natural result of this model is lower cost. It really comes from a number of areas. One is it really empowers the teacher, and when fully built out, requires a lot less administrative overhead, which is a significant line item in the running of many yeshivas.
Sure.
That's one. Two, it does allow, I know you use the term class sizes, I don't like to say class sizes because the whole idea of a class in this model is not so black and white, but it allows for higher student-teacher ratios. It will allow us to actually, we believe we will be able to recruit the best teachers out there and pay them competitively, if not better. And the last component is Well, important component, we do anticipate, since the price is quite a bit lower, the needs for scholarship are going to be less, and we feel very confident that we will be able to raise the funds that are needed for scholarship outside of tuition money from fully donated money.
Okay, so what is your cost structure going to be compared to the other schools in the community?
Well, that's a pretty broad question.
Okay, well, first of all, what is your tuition going to be? Is your your pre-K, K-1, is that what it is to start with?
Correct. So the idea is, leaving pre-K aside for a minute, K through 8, we believe we can deliver at around $9,000 a student. Like any business, there's startup costs, and we won't break even year one, but when fully built out, we actually show the cost of being slightly less than that. But we know things, we built out a 10-year model, we know things will creep up. That's in 2012 dollars. We do anticipate, obviously, it will go up with inflation and wage growth. The problem we've had in the Jewish community is that inflation has been going up twice the rate of inflation for the past 20 years.
I mean, the tuition has gone up twice.
Tuition has gone up. Yeah. Well, tuition and costs.
Yeah, well, by the way, since you're really a student of this, what happened? I mean, I've been trying to figure this out for a long time. What happened? Why did this occur?
Well, I think that, like a lot of things, right, good education is expensive. And, we do live in a very different world than when you and I grew up.
You and I grew up in different worlds.
The difference between my world and your world was not nearly as different as, the gap there is not as different as today when I went to school. We do expect, our parents expect a lot from our school. They want, in this day of email, they send an email to a principal, they want an answer within 5 minutes. So parents have demanded a lot. At the same time, we have a very laudable goal of trying to reach every single kid the way we can. And by definition, since kids, the world's a lot more complex than it ever was, we diagnose a lot more things today, and it's almost all human capital business. 85% of the school's costs are human capital.
Right.
That means throwing more and more bodies at it. And, we want these people to live in our community, so we want to pay them a living wage. That's why we're so excited about this model. This model really allows us to customize the learning for individual students. And, you asked about class size earlier. We've hired a consultant who's built out these schools, many of these schools before. And by the way, I want to thank the Avichai Foundation for making that possible. When we talk to this consultant, she keeps on telling us, when we have 50 kids in the class, we're like, no, we're not putting 50 kids in the class. And she's like, why not? It really works. And then we talk about, what about the kid who just is falling behind? She's like, you just don't get it. And initially, we didn't get it. Now that we've actually went and visited these schools, we've seen them, we actually do get it now. I encourage anyone who wants to see this. And unfortunately, the best ones are out in the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to see it in motion. And we have, I know I'm a little biased here, we have a fantastic website where we have a tremendous amount of literature.
Okay, good. No, that's great. So what's the website? Give everybody the website.
YeshivatHeAtid.org.
Okay.
One word, YeshivatHeAtid.org, where we have a wealth of materials there.
Yeah, great.
Give people a feel. I mean, I could talk forever. You have to see this stuff in action. And quite frankly, I'm a big skeptic about a lot of things, and I was skeptical early on, and I myself and my colleagues did a tremendous amount of research on this, and we spoke to many, many educators, what I think people have to understand is this is not, people mix up, they think this is just technology. It's not about technology. It's about a different way. It's about customized learning more than anything. Technology is just a tool to utilize and to get the customized learning.
So you're charging $9,000, you're hoping. And what would some of the other schools in the community, what are they charging?
The other schools charge between $13,000 and $16,000, depending on the school.
So it's a serious difference.
It's about a 35-40% savings. Now, our pre-K price is a little bit lower, but we're going to charge $8,000. But, The goal really is to keep that price again in 2012 dollars as the school grows.
Okay, listen, it's a fantastic thing. If you could do that and provide quality education, that's going to go a long way towards towards helping deal with this situation, which is, to me, the number one issue in Jewish life. You know that we've had our own OU, we had our own summit that you attended, and, you know, we are definitely committed to this, and Simcha Katz, who is our current president, this has been a number one item on his agenda. We're spending a lot of money on this, so, you know, we're encouraging that, and I salute you for that. So I want to ask you two questions that maybe are a little bit controversial to a certain extent. One, are you getting support from the other schools? How do they see you? Do they see you as a threat? Are they encouraged that there's someone out there who may actually lower the cost of education? You know, you could be as honest as you feel you can be, okay?
Sure. Well, look, I can't speak for existing schools. I will say this. I will say that, you know, our goal here even reaches beyond the direct competitors that we have in the area. We would love for all schools to learn from what we're doing and hopefully adapt it. And quite frankly, if other schools have better ideas, we'd love to learn from them. We're going to be very, very open, and we invite other schools to come see what we're doing. And I'd like to see a yeshiva like this be created in every community. We do have a major funder that's funding the startup costs for this venture, and that funder wants to see this kind of yeshiva in every Jewish community in the country.
Really? No kidding. So that if someone, let's say, from another community came and saw it and liked what they saw, it's possible to do this in other communities also.
I'm actually very confident that this type of yeshiva will open in another big community in the tri-state area in September 2013. I've already had discussions with that community.
Oh, really?
Okay. But look, we have to think outside the box here. And, you know, I applaud the OU for, one, for, you know, supporting us and giving us that grant.
Yes,
and two,
correct.
for really, you know, rolling up their sleeves and wanting to tackle what is really the biggest issue. And there's no one silver bullet, right? At the end of the day, you know, we think that this is a model that's going to provide an excellent education at a much more affordable price, but there are always going to be people who can't afford it. And what we really are challenging the OU to do is to find a way to really bring that message to communities that supporting yeshiva education is a communal responsibility, as is enumerated in many, many Mamre Chazal. And that if anyone can't afford the price tag, whether it's $15,000 or $9,000 or $5,000, whatever it is, that it's the obligation of the community to step up to the plate, just like we provide food for people that can't eat, and we provide job placement for those that need jobs. We need to provide the funds to make sure that every Jewish child receives a yeshiva education.
Now, is the school going to be totally transparent in their budget and their finances?
We certainly intend to be as much possible. Obviously, we're not going to disclose the salary of person X, but we've already shown our budget to many people in the community, to interested parties. Certainly, we're not hiding anything. Our goal here is not to just do something that works for 2 or 3 years, and then we have to increase tuition by 20%.
Right.
My whole goal, anyone who knows me and knows my work in other work I've done in the community knows that, you know, my passion is to see to it that yeshiva education is made affordable for everyone, and that is what I intend to do.
No, listen, I think it's fantastic, Gershon, and as I said, you know, I was curious about, you know, because if I was another school in the community, I would look at it saying, well, they're taking kids away from us, so now we're going to have less kids, and it's going to cost us even more, so I would imagine that unless they were very, very, very big picture oriented and, you know, looking at everything from the Klal's point of view, they probably would not be as happy the fact that someone like you is opening a school.
Well, I can't speak for the schools. I can tell you I obviously have many, I know many people, I have many friends on the various boards, and, you know, there are certainly, I'm sure, some people who are upset about this. Because it will definitely impact things in the short run. And there are others who think that, you know, competition is good and this is going to make all schools better. It already has had an impact. Several schools have already been talking about how they're going to implement some type of blended learning. Other schools have found ways to reduce the cost, especially in the lower grades. So this is having some very, very good, a very, very good impact. I continue to think we need to strengthen programs like NNJ Kids, which I'm sure you're familiar with, which I started a couple of years ago, which will provide, again, towards that communal funding model. I think there will be movement. There is a movement now to centralize the financial aid processes among schools. under a single one set of criteria, and eventually to fund it all from one source as well. And NNJ Kids is a big part of that.
Right. No. I definitely believe in what I call the Kahila model. I think that that's what we need. And maybe one of the reasons people don't want to support education is because they feel that they don't know what's really going on and they're not privy to. That's why I asked you about the transparency. The more transparency, the easier it's going to be for the community to support something like this. And I think this is where we have to go. Let me ask you one final question. I mean, in every business venture and everything you do, and I know you're in the business world, investment world, and so on, they always ask the question, so what can go wrong? So what do you think can go wrong here?
Well, clearly we have to execute on this, right? At the end of the day, contrary to some of our critics, the most important part of the model is the quality of the teachers we hire. So certainly, you know, we hired who we think is a fantastic educator as our head of school, Rabbi Natanael Grala.
Yeah, he is.
We have full confidence in his ability to execute this. But look, there's a risk like any business venture. No matter how smart you are, no matter how talented you are, you hire the wrong people. I think, maybe parents need to have a little bit more patience than they're used to is a possible risk. But, you know, we have a very energized parent body. You know, I mentioned we have over 100 students, I think, from about 80 families. And I don't know if every family volunteered, but when we asked for volunteers to get involved in the school, it seemed like every family volunteered. So we have a very excited and engaged parent body. And we're just really excited about the prospect. I have, you know, everyone asked me, sorry, you didn't ask me, no offense, but everyone asked me if I'm sending my kids there. I only have one kid that falls into that age bracket, but my wife and I could not be more excited to be sending her there.
I didn't answer the question because I assumed you would. That's why I figured if you wouldn't, that would really kind of be sending a message. I just assumed you would. But listen, Hatzlacha to you. I think we in the general Jewish community are applauding what you're doing. You know, Kina Sofrim Tar Bechachma. I think that that's extremely important. We've got to find ways of thinking outside the box. We've got to find new ways of looking at this problem and we've got to find solutions. And here I applaud you and your board for going and taking a bold step. We're going to watch it, and hopefully if it works, then, you know, it'll be something replicated in other places. So I want to thank you, Gershon. So I've had Gershon Distenfeld, who is the EVP of Yeshiva He'atid in Bergenfield, New Jersey. We're going to watch carefully and hopefully have you back on the program maybe sometime next year to see how everything is going. So thank you so much and good luck to you.
Thanks for having me. Be well.
Thank you.